When anyone receives revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow through these messages in your Bible, in sequence, in order that you may be able to make a choice for the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. This is tape number 9 in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in this series in numerical order so that the whole teaching can be received and understood. Listening to a part of this series or to the tapes out of sequence can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent, and the importance of this series.
He's going to suffer the loss of all things. So, when we go through the fiery trials, folks, all your works are burning up, and you're going to be saved by going through the fire, the fiery test. And you're going to go through the fiery trials. You're not going to fall away. You're not going to be wood, hay, and stubble that the fire burns up. You're going to go through the fire, and you're going to be silver and gold. Isn't that right? You're going to overcome, and your good works are going to remain. And if you continue in Christ, his good works are going to remain. You endure the end. You're going to bear good fruit, and your fruit's going to remain, and you're going to endure to the end. You're going to be purified. You're going to be sanctified, and you're going to be you're not going to turn from Christ. You're not going to fall away. You're not going to get any other idol because you're going to be in a war. You're going to resist the devil. You're going to receive eternal life because you've learned the fear of God, and that is the fear of God. What do you think about that? The fear of God is to hate evil. Amen? Praise God forevermore. Now, isn't that just something? So, you know, when we're talking over there that a man's work is burning up, well, and he's going to still get some rewards and lose some of his rewards and everything, he shall suffer loss, but he's going to suffer the loss of all of his own flesh work, but he himself is going to be saved, yet so as through fire. Are you seeing that? See, it's the works of the flesh, see. Because, see, if you kept that just like it is, but then, see, what we're saying, you're just going to just lose some rewards, you're just going to lose a crown. Well, what are you going to do with these scriptures that we've been seeing? If you practice impurity, Ephesians 5:5, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. What are you going to do with Colossians 3, that the wrath of God comes on those who practice such things? See, that scripture has been interpreted totally contrary to 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. It's totally contrary to Galatians 5:19-21. If you continue to call that scripture in 1 Corinthians 3, what that says right there, then you have to say those other scriptures are not saying what they're saying. And that's exactly what happens. Then when you say it's not saying what it's saying, you have to pick and choose through the Word of God, and you can't be led in all truth. You can't be led into maturity. Amen? I want you to turn with me to Luke 8, and I want to show you the whole story right there in the parable of the Word. And I believe this is going to bless you. This is really going to bless you. We know the sower went out to sow the Word of God. Verse 5, and he sowed some beside the road, and it was trampled. The Word of God gets trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air came and ate it. And we know that birds of the air, the powers of darkness. And then we know in other seed, that's the seed that the Word of God fell on a hardened heart. It's a rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away. Why? It withered away because it didn't have any moisture of the Word, and it withers up, and the birds of the air, I tell you what, they come and gather them and burn them. Verse 7, another seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it. There's your thorns and thistles that choked it out, because then your heart falls away. Then other seed fell into the good soil, and it grew up and produced a good crop. Isn't that right? Okay, now let's look in verse 9. And his disciples, Jesus' disciples, began questioning him as what this parable might be. Now here's the disciples are talking, isn't it right? And he said, to you disciples, it has been granted to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, who are practicing strife and jealousy, to the rest who are practicing strife and jealousy, they cannot learn. They are not becoming mature to where they can hear. They cannot hear the wisdom of God. They hear an intellectual wisdom, flesh wisdom. Isn't that right? They say, I'm Apollos, and I'm a this, and I'm that, right? And they can't hear. But to the rest, it's an parable in order that seeing, they may not see, hearing, they may not understand, because the only way you're going to hear all the Word of God is for you to overcome and possess the land and not fall away and let your heart go to anything else. Amen? Okay. Now we see now verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Okay. And those beside the road. Now let me just show you where the road is. If when you're walking down the road and you're being led by the Spirit of God, you're on the highway of holiness. Amen? And so what do you do on this highway of holiness? You'll toss some seed off the road. You'll speak the word. Hey, come up here and get on this road with me. Come up here and get up here. There's no beast to feel. There's no devils up here. There's no lions up here. Come up here on this peace up on this road. Come up here. I'm walking down the road and I'm casting out seed. I'm casting out seed. I'm casting out seed. Some of it falls on hardened heart and some of it falls on good soil. If you get one on good soil, he's going to come up and get out with you on the highway. Amen? The road is everywhere you go. This highway of holiness is everywhere you go. You're casting a seed. You're putting out. Are you hearing me? Okay. All right. Now, here we go. We're on the highway of holiness. And this is a seed, is the word of God. And those beside the road, they're standing out there beside the road of holiness through the world. And those beside the road, those, they hear the word of God, and just quick as they hear it, the devil comes and he takes it away from their heart. He takes the word of God right out of the heart. You put it in Pisces there. He takes it away with the words. He takes it away many different ways. Now let's just see some of the ways he does it. But you get their heart to love something else and you don't come to Jesus. But he takes away the word from their heart so that they may not what? Believe. If they don't believe, then they're not going to be what? Saved. All right, they can't be saved if you don't believe, and you have to receive the Word of God to be saved. Is that right? All right, now, are y'all with me right now? Now, I want you to watch very closely what happens. Here are the ways that you cast the seed out, and the devil comes and takes the Word out of the heart so they won't be saved. He causes them to fall away. Are you with me? Here we go. Now, in verse 13. And those on the rocky soil, now, they have hardened hearts. They have a hard heart, you know. It talks about in Isaiah 5 about that Jesus, you know, in a vineyard there, they've taken the stones are the hard places in your heart. But those on the rocky soil are those, when they hear the word of God, they receive the word with joy. They get really excited about the word. Well, but they have no what? They're firm, they don't have no firm root in Jesus. They have a heart. Their heart is not firmly in the root of Jesus. Amen? They don't have a firm root in Jesus, the Word of God. Amen? Jesus has not got all their heart. But they come to Him and they get excited about the Word. Now let's see, here comes the powers of darkness. When you start coming to the Word, brother, they start coming to put you in the furnace. You're not supposed to do that. Oh, we'll put you in the fiery furnace if you do that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But when you get in there, you might find a mortal man in there with you. Amen? Glory to His name of Jesus. But anyway, and those in the rocky soil, they heard, they received the word with joy, and they had no firm roots, so they believed for what? They believed for a little while, but then in time of what? Here comes the powers of darkness to come and test their heart. Which direction? Who's got their heart? Jesus is something else. Something else has a heart because why? They fall away from the faith. They won't persevere and endure. Amen? They won't get on that highway of holiness, will they? Okay. So now we look in the next verse. And the seed, here's the word of God, which fell among the thorns. Now who are these? These are the ones who hear the word of God and they go whose way? They go their own way. They hear the word of God, but they don't do it. They hear the word of God, but they don't do it because they are lord of their own life. They go their way, and what's their way? They are choked, and here's what the powers of darkness bring to their mind. They bring the worries and the riches and the pleasure of this life. And that's what gets their heart, although they might say, I'm a Christian, but they do not bring no fruit to what? They cannot come into maturity to know the full wisdom of God, because the worries of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires from everything have got their mind and their heart. Now, that's the reason Jesus told the rich man, he said, there's one thing you lack. Sell all your possessions and give to the poor. Why? Because it's the only thing that's got your heart right now. It's the only thing, idol you've got. It's an idol. You can't follow me, because you love it right now more than you do me. If you'll give that away, then I'll have all your heart. But that love of money right there is going to be the root of all kind of evil. You're not part. But what did the rich man do? He turned away. Why did he turn away? And he went away sadly because it proved what Jesus saw. He loved his money more than he did Jesus because he was very rich. He would not give up what had his heart. You see it? Jesus Christ will not be one of your idols. He'll be the only idol in your heart. Don't try to have other idols and have Jesus, because you fall away. You are lost. You do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know he's not doing anything in your life, but you can repent if your heart is not so hardened. But see, that's what doctrines that do not conform you to godliness. You can take the word of God and you can go to someone you've known all your life and I'm telling you what, they absolutely cannot hear the word of God, because their heart has been so hardened and their hearts have been so captured, and they've resisted the word of God so long, they are walking in the sin of death, and you can't get to them. They can never hear. There's no sacrifice for them. They've fallen away. All right, now verse 15. You're going along and you're sowing a seed. You're sowing the word of God, and the seed in the good soil. Now that's someone who has a repentant heart, who really wants to come and please Jesus with all the heart. These are the ones who've heard the word in an honest, and they have a good heart. They have a good heart. They have a good heart. Is that right? In other words, they have good soil. Is that right? And they have an honest and good heart. And what do they do when they hear the word of God? Brother, they will not give it up. They're not going to let doctrines. They're not going to let men. They're not going to let theology. They're not going to let intimidation. They're not going to let persuasive arguments. We're warned in Colossians 2:8. Do not be taken captive by the philosophy or intellect of men. Do not be taken captive by the traditions of men. Do not be taken captive by people who have the principles of the world. That's what the world church operates on, the principle of the world. And all of these things, don't be taken captive by any of these things other than Christ. And so this is him right here. His seed's in a good soul. These are one that hears the word of God in an honest and good heart. They hold it fast. And when you hold the word fast, when you only let the fruit, the word, the seeds of God come into your heart, what kind of fruit do you think you bear? You bear fruit for God. Because they hold this word fast in an honest and good heart before God. They're sincere, and they bear fruit with what? Perseverance. Now, what is the perseverance that you go through trials? Now, let me just show you one other parable right here, just real quick, so you can tie it together. Now, we looked at it going another direction. But I want you to look at me in Matthew 13 right here. I want you to see it a different way. Now we see the parable right here. We're going to see how you hold fast to the word of God through perseverance, because people everywhere are going through all kind of trials, and it's not joyful to them, because they want to give the glory, devil to the glory during these. Give the devil the glory during the trials. Well, what do you do is be joyful about it, because Jesus is burning something out of you. Now look here, Matthew 13. Verse 3, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell beside the road, the birds came and ate it. And we know that's the powers of darkness. And once again, we're sowing the seed beside the highway of holiness where we're walking at. And then we see in verse 5, another seed fell upon the, here's some hardened heart where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. Now, they don't have an honest and good heart. They have a hard heart. There's some things that they're not giving up. And when the sun, now let me tell you what that sun is. The sun is the fiery trials had risen, which we saw, and they were scorched. They were scorched. That's the fiery trials that we go in. Because they had no root, what do? The root's not in Jesus. They wither away. And what do we see in John 15:6? When you wither away, then they, that's the tree cutters, they come and gather you, and you're thrown into the fire and burned. And of course, that's exactly what we see in Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10. Is that right? So here's the trials that come on you. And we see it explains to the disciples over there let me just first tell you what the problem is with these other folks right here who's practicing some of this sin right here. Let me just point it to you in verse 11. To you, disciples, have been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them I'm not granting it. Verse 13, while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, and they don't understand. I don't intend for them to understand what this sun is. I don't intend for them to understand what being scorched is. I don't intend for them to see who the root is right here. I don't intend to know what happens to them when they're withered. Why? They just keep on. I don't have the heart. They're not coming to me with honest and good heart, so they're not going to know. They're just going to keep on hearing, but they're not going to understand. And that's what Paul was trying to warn some of them over there in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3. He said, you're going to keep on seeing, but you're not going to perceive. For the heart of this people has become what? dull. Now, is that exactly what we saw in Hebrews 5? Is the reason they couldn't go into maturity because they were dull of hearing? Is that right? For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. You can't hear when your heart's on something else. And they close their eyes. In other words, they're asleep, lest you should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. And they'd repent, and then I'd heal them. But the disciples, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear, because I've taken the disciples aside right now, and I'm going to tell disciples what I'm saying in my word, because it's no mystery. Disciple, I'm going to tell you what the sun is, what being scorched is. I'm going to tell you what a rocky soil is. I'm going to show you what no root is and being withered is. And so he shut the disciples aside in verse 20, and he goes ahead. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what's been in their heart right there. And so here's how they do it. And the one on whom the seed was sown on a rocky place is this, it's a hardened heart. This is a man, when he hears the word of God, immediately receives it with joy, 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 joy. Joy, joy, joy. Yet he has no firm root in Jesus, see? And he, and in himself, he doesn't have a firm root in himself. It's not tied to the word. It's not tied to Jesus, but he's only temporary. And here comes the fiery test. Here comes the powers of darkness to take the word of God. And how do they come to take it? They come to bring affliction and persecution against him. They get people. People don't even realize how the powers of darkness control people, but all they do is stir up the flesh, and the flesh always pours the spirit, so it's easy to bring flesh against them, just like we saw in Acts 13. So they bring affliction and persecution if they have to get some devout women and some leading men, and they'll bring some affliction and persecution, and we know in 2 Timothy 3, all the desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Is that right? So, and they rise because of the word. When his affliction or persecution comes, he won't stand in Jesus. He's got a pride. He's got reputation. He won't. And when it comes because of the word of God, immediately he what? He falls away. He falls away because Jesus doesn't have his heart. Amen? Praise God forevermore. Well, hallelujah. So, turn with me to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, here's what we look at now, verse 19. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord, he better abstain from wickedness, he better abstain from the flesh rebellion, the lust of the flesh, he better abstain from it, and let Jesus have all his heart. Then when he does it, he can come with the word of God and he can be cleansed. Isn't that right? So you abstain from it. Don't let any other idol come in there. Now, verse 20. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, I'm going to look at something really just a minute. You don't have to turn with it, but I want you to know that it's Romans 9, that Lord let some people be destroyed, and he let some of them are vessels of mercy. Now, I just want to read it to you. 9:22. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Now, he's endured with much patience, and he just lets everybody in the world just go their way, and he endures with until they just turn and continue in rebellion to him. Is that right? And they're vessels of wrath. And he did so in order that he might make known the riches of his glory upon who? That's the vessels of mercy which he prepared beforehand for glory. And that's the ones who want to come to light and walk with Jesus with all their heart. Amen? So, we see there's vessels of honor, and there's vessels of dishonor. There's vessels of wood and earthenware, but there is a wood, hay, and stubble too. But there's also vessels of gold and silver, and that's the ones he brings through the fire. Isn't that right? Is that right? Okay, now, we see verse 21. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself, if his heart is cleansed from these things, that's wickedness. All wickedness, if it's cleansed, he will be a vessel for honor. Why? Because he will be sanctified. Without the sanctification, you'll not see the Lord, we know in Hebrews 12:14. He'll be useful to the master because he has prepared himself for every good work. We're not seeing every good work because of the ungodliness of men's hearts who fall away on the other idols. We're not seeing every good work. We're seeing manipulated flesh, and God just drops a crumb here and there off the table. The dogs get a little of it. Verse 22. Now flee from your youthful lust. I mean the same lust you had when you were 16 or 45. You flee from it. And what are you going to pursue? You better take off from all the lust of flesh. You're going to pursue righteousness. You're going to pursue faith. You're going to, faith is being led by the Spirit of God. And when you're led by the Spirit of God, you're going to end in love. And you're going to have peace because the Lord puts a hedge around you when you're walking this way. And you're going to fellowship with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen. Now you see what vessels, see how you're saved is through fire. You see some vessels are for honor and some of them for dishonor. Is that right? Well, see, that's the same thing you saw back in, you know, in 1 Corinthians 3. That it says, according to the 10 verse, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, another is building on it. But every man better be careful how he builds upon it. Let no man lay a foundation which is not Christ. And then we see now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold and silver, now gold and silver and precious, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw, each man's work is going to become evident for the day, that's the day of the Lord, is going to show it because it's going to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself is going to test the quality of each man's heart. Now the fire comes and tests your heart. Is that right? And either your heart is going to come to the fire, and you're going to be free of all wickedness. Is that right? That's the fiery test. That's the persecution and affliction that you go through. Or else you're not gonna stand on the word of God in that thing, and you're gonna just rebel against persecution. You're going to anger, hate, murder, unforgiveness, slander, judgments, and all these things. You'll keep, instead of coming on and dying to these things, you'll stay in the fire, and the fire is going to destroy you right there. The powers of darkness keep getting more and more ground as they put these fiery trials on you. You won't trust the Lord. You keep wanting to war after the flesh. Are you following what I'm saying? Because this is exactly, let me just show you something, folks. This is exactly what we were promised back in Malachi that Jesus is going to do. Malachi, it's right before Matthew. I want you to see something with me in Malachi. Malachi 3. Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I'm going to send my messenger. Who is the messenger? Can I tell you his name? Jesus. He's going to clear the way, it's going to be John the Baptist, and he's going to clear the way before Jesus, and the Lord then, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, there's Jesus, and the messenger of the covenant, now that's Jesus who is the messenger of the covenant, right? In whom you delight, behold, he's coming, says the Lord of hosts. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire, and he's like fuller's soap. Now, why is he that way? Because I'm telling you what, he lets the fire come on. He'll either bring you through the fire or he lets the fire destroy you. That's the reason he told the people in Laodicea, he said, I know your deeds. I know your deeds. You think you've already arrived. You say you're rich and wealthy. You don't have need of nothing. You don't know that you're wretched. You're miserable. You're poor and you're blind. You're lost. You can't see where you're going. You're naked. You're practicing these sins. And what he told them, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. In other words, I advise you to repent and to follow me and come out through this fire like gold. Amen? Be saved through this fire. And then you can wear white garments and clothe yourself in the shame of your nakedness. And he went on to tell them, now if those who I love are reproving discipline. So you're not receiving discipline. You think you've already arrived and rich and increased in goods and you're naked. You don't have the garments of salvation. And those whom I love are reproving discipline. So you be zealous, therefore, and repent, and then you be refined by the fire, and you're going to come out like gold, because I'm standing at the door, and I want to come in, and I'm wanting to feed you this word right here. I want you to dine. I want you to take it to heart. Man lives on every word that comes from the mouth of God, and if you'll overcome, I'm going to grant you to sit with me on my throne, and as I overcome, you're going to walk as I overcame. And then you're going to sit with me on my Father's throne. Now, if you have ear to hear, you better hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches. Amen? So he said, Malachi 3, verse 2, who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he will sit as a smelter. He's going to be the purifier of silver. He's going to purify the sons of Levi. There we are. And he's going to refine them like gold and silver. So, when they come through this fire, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Glory be to God. They overcome the devil. Amen. The world and the flesh. The overcomers. Now, in verse 15, But here's what's going on today. So now we call the arrogant, arrogant and proud people, call them blessed. But not only the doers of wickedness build up, doers of wickedness just build it up and count for rebellion, but they also test God and escape. Then those who feared the Lord, I hope that's us, spoke to one another. They spoke to one another. They were grieving over the ruin of Jacob. They were grieving over the ruin of the church. And the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and esteem his name. That's who the book's written for. And they'll be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession. I'm going to spare them. I'm going to put a hedge around them. They're going to walk in peace as a man spares his own son, because they're the ones who serves him. Amen? You serve me, you get spared, right? So you will again, here's what you're going to do. You're going to come out of this darkness. You're going to come through this fire, and you're going to distinguish between the righteous, and you're going to distinguish between the wicked. You're going to distinguish between the one who serves God, and you're going to distinguish between the one who does not serve God, because you're going to start judging people by their fruit. You're going to know what's in their heart by their deeds and their mouth and their walk. For behold, it says right here in chapter 4, verse 1, the day of the Lord is, the day is coming, it's burning like a furnace. May I tell you, it's here right now. And all the arrogant and ever evildoer is going to be like chaff. Right now, they're being destroyed right now. The day, look at the day right there. It's the day right now. The day is coming and it's here right now. It is coming that's going to set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts. And so that it will leave them neither. They're not going to be left with a root. They're not going to have no root. And they're not going to have any branch, because they didn't bear fruit for the Lord. They didn't serve the Lord. They were wicked. They were arrogant. And then the Lord has let them gather them up. They've withered away. They've gathered them up as branches. And they've been burned. And that's the judgment of the Lord. And I want you to see this with me in Matthew 13. Matthew 13. I want you to see it. The destruction of the ones that's not bearing fruit. Now, we see then, verse 24, Matthew 13, 24, and he presented another parable. He presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. And while the men were sleeping, did we see some people that were sleeping a while ago? They sure were. The enemy came and he sowed tares also among the wheat. And then he went away. Now watch very closely, verse 26. And when the wheat sprang up, are we supposed to be the wheat? Yes, we are the wheat. And when the wheat sprang up, what does it bear? I can't hear you. What does it bear? It bears fruit. Who does it bear fruit for? God. When the wheat springs up, it bears fruit. Then what becomes evident? The tares become evident. Now, we see those that practice sin is not going to go into heaven. Is that correct? What did you see in Galatians 5:19? For the deeds of the flesh are evident. The deeds of the tares are evident. The deeds, are you seeing what I'm telling you? Amen? Now, we see those that practice sin is not going to go into heaven. Is that correct? What did you see in Galatians 5:19? For the deeds of the flesh are evident. The deeds of the tares are evident. The deeds, are you seeing what I'm telling you? Amen? Okay. Now, all right, now, I want you to watch very carefully. This is explained in Matthew 13, verse 30. Look in verse 36, okay? 36. Now, they want to know in verse 36, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. Now, the tares of the field are the one that bears the wrong fruit in Matthew 7. It's going to come up and say, Lord, Lord, and he doesn't know them, right? They practice lawlessness because they never turn away from sin. And he answered and said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is not the church house. The field is the world. Is that right? And that, because the church is not supposed to be unevenly yoked, that's why. How can the temple of idols walk with the temple of God? In the temple of the church of Jesus Christ, you're having discipline to get out all sin. And they're sanctifying the congregation with the word of God, by the way. Verse 8, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And who are the tares? They're the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. and the reapers are angels. Now, do you remember the angels are going to come out and blow the trumpet, and then they're going to turn loose fire, they're going to turn loose the different woes and everything? Is that correct? Amen? All right, now here we go right here. Watch very clearly what happened. Now, what happens to the tares? Now, is it going to burn up? Is the fire going to burn up everybody that doesn't serve God, all the wicked and doesn't serve God? Is that what he said over in Malachi? All right, now let's watch how it does, because this is the fury of fire. This is the vengeance of God. Vengeance for his temple, because you serve wickedness, you're going to be destroyed. You defile the temple and you destroy the temple. You're going to be destroyed. Therefore, verse 40, just as the tares are gathered up in what? We saw that they produced the wrong fruit over there. They're burned if it's thorns and thistles. Is that right? They're the branches in John 15, verse 6, that wither away. Okay, and they're burned. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned, and with what? Fire. That's the same thing he is saying in Hebrews 6. So it shall be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels. And what's this angel's going to do? They're going to gather out of his kingdom all the what? Stumbling blocks. Can I tell you that's who Babylon is? They're going to gather out all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. That's sin. They're practicing sin. And that's what these doctrines of ungodliness give people a license to do. Give them a false security. While they rebel and their hearts are hardened against God, they practice lawlessness. That's who the tares are. That's Babylon. That's the Babylon church of the last days. That's the Babylon church. That's apostasy. That's a great falling away today. And these powers of darkness are turned loose. And these angels turn them loose. That those that are going to gather out of this kingdom, all these stumbling blocks and those who are committing laws, while they're waiting to be raptured out, while they're waiting to be raptured out, they're raptured down. They're cast down, just like we read in Jeremiah, because they refuse the word. They won't receive the word, and you can't even warn them. And they're going to be cast in, verse 2, into what? The furnace of fire. May I tell you who that furnace of fire is? That's where the branches are burned. That's where tares go. That's where the ones who practice laws go. And there's a time coming up, and it's increasing right now. All the joy and gladness and gaiety is being wiped off the earth. I can't get into all of it, but it's being removed right now. If you care to look around the people around you right now, they're being destroyed today because their hearts are going after roots of love of money, of pride. They don't have a repentant heart. They don't love Jesus with all their hearts. They're being destroyed, and you're already in Revelation. I can tell you that for sure, folks. Don't wait for that never time to come, because you're right in the middle of hell right now. And so it says they're going to be cast into the furnace of fire. In that place, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, let me tell you what that gnashing of teeth is. Gnashing of teeth is these curses and bitterness and anger and everything that people are getting in these trials. That's the fire they're in right now. They won't come on through it. They won't come on through it, so they're burned up in it. That's the furnace of fire. The only way that you can come to it is the Spirit of God bring you through it. And the Spirit of God is not going to bring you through it unless you stand on His Word and Jesus has all your whole heart. And then He's going to put, after you tested a while, after you suffered a while, then He's going to perfect you. He's going to affirm you. He's going to strengthen you. And then He's going to establish His covenant with you. Are y'all seeing what the furnace of fire is? Now, tares and those that commit lawlessness won't come on through the fire, because they're going to stand there and gnash their teeth. They're going to stand there and gnash their teeth in that fire. They're going to gnash their teeth in that furnace of fire, all these fiery trials. They're not going to be joyful in it, and they're going to weep and cry in all the pain and all the torment, because the more they holler and the more sin they commit in that fire, hate, anger, grudge, unforgiveness and all these things, the bigger the fortress comes on them that the powers of darkness put on them. Y'all follow me? Now you see why I want to keep you just a little longer here with you folks. Do you see? I wish we'd start staying longer. Well, let me ask you something. Do you believe this is worth staying a little while for? Okay. Now, I'll tell you what. Do you think this will sanctify the congregation? All right, now. See, if you hadn't sit here for hours before already, could we ever get to this point? You see, so only mature have the sense of sharpness going to endure the one that's going to come to hear the words of wisdom. Is that right? And that's what the Lord wants to show us. So then they're going to get in the furnace of fire. They're going to be weeping the gnashing of teeth. They're going to be destroyed there. And then, verse 43, then the righteous are going to shine forth as the sun. Isn't that right? Because they're going to come right on through that fire. in the kingdom of their Father. Now, he who has ears, let him hear what it's saying. Amen. Do you have the ears to hear that? Do you see what it is? Now, look right up there in verse 49. So it's going to be at the end of the age. Now, we're in the end of the age. The angels are going to come forth. And look, while everybody's waiting to be raptured, they're going to take out the wicked from among the righteous. Now, that is the flood that comes into the flood of Noah while they're eating and drinking. See, their hearts are going after eating. Their hearts are going after drinking. Their hearts are going after the treasures of this world. They're already rich, increasing good, because they're not building. They got their mind set on building in the kingdom above. Their heart is they're building a kingdom right here on earth. They feel proud of their position. Their heart and the worries of the world, deceit from the riches, and desires of other things. They're making themselves comfortable right here. They're at ease in Zion right here on this earth, and hell is all over them. They're not building treasures in heaven. They're building it right here. They keep hoarding and everything right here. They don't use it, to build up the kingdom of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so watch right there. He's coming by at the end, and this fire is taking the wicked from among the righteous. And he's going to cast them into this furnace of fire. This fire is a judgment that's going today right around us right now. And so it's coming on you too. If you've got any idols, you not repent. If you think you just heard a good message here, I want you to know hell and the fury of fire is on you too. If you don't act on the Word of God, if you're just going to be hearing the Word of God and you're going to go out and you've still got you some kind of security that you don't have to act on it, I'm going to tell you, you've got a foolish heart and you're a foolish virgin. You're called a virgin because you're part of a whore harlot church. You're the wrong virgin. You understand what I mean? Because you're not the church of Jesus Christ. You're not the wise virgin, because the wise and the foolish are different. Amen? Do your word study on wise and foolish. And so he's going to cast them into the furnace of fire, and there's going to be weeping, the gnashing of teeth. It's happening all around you. Weeping, anger, hate, murder, all the fruit of the devil coming out of people's mouth while they're in the fire right there. And that's why, this is why the powers of darkness bring persecution on you. This is why they bring affliction on you. And then the more you holler, the more ground they get into you. Amen? Well, I tell you what. We're saved is through the fire, aren't we? Well, I think I'd just like to read one more place. Okay? Matthew 24. I think it might bless you. We're going to see something about the very last day. Can we see that before we go? See something about the very last day. Matthew 24. Verse 3. And he was sitting, Jesus, on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him. They came to him and had a private talk, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" Now, what's going to be the sign of coming of Jesus at the end of the age? Now, isn't that an interesting subject right there? And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you," because you could be misled at the end of the age. For many is going to come in the name of Jesus saying, "I'm the Christ," and they're going to mislead many. And I want you to look very closely at what we're going to run into in verse 7. For nation going to rise against nation. Now, nation could be people that represent God are going to be against one another. Kingdom, the darkness against the kingdom of light. And in various places there are going to be what? Famine. What is that famine? It's going to be a famine of the Word of God. It's not going to be a famine of everybody's guts are hanging 4 inches over there. They know no kind of famine like that. It's a famine of the Word, and they're going to be what? The earthquake. We've already seen what the earthquake is. It's shaking the foundation. Everything is going to be only those things that cannot be shaken. It's the only thing removed, because the powers of darkness are coming by. And if you've got a foundation on sand, if you've got a foundation on a doctrine that does not conform you to godliness, you're drifting further and further, and your heart's become hardened and hardened into the sin of the death and destruction, and you're being gathered and burned up just like rottenness. Just like a moth eaten away, just slow deterioration. But these are just merely the beginning of what? See, and I've always shared with you about Babylon right there, the birth pangs. There is a birth pangs as a church dying to the flesh and giving birth. Is that right? But then these are the birth pangs
The same thing you see in 1 Thessalonians 5, a destruction in the last days. These are the ones that that are brought on us in Isaiah 13, these birth pangs. And, of course, you just do your word study and you see it all over and you can tell them the birth of the church and the birth of judgment. I mean, the birth pangs is so much pain and that are coming on people and torment. Okay, now let's just continue in verse 10. And it'll be at that time that many are going to what? They're going to what? They're going to fall away, and they're going to deliver up one another, and they're going to hate one another. Are you seeing that today? Absolutely, they're hating one another. It's a nation against nation. It's a war. The war in acts of the flesh. And many false preachers, false prophets are going to rise, and what are they going to do? They're going to mislead people. How are they going to mislead them? After the, well, you already saw it in 2 Peter 2. Lead them after fleshly desires. And then when people are in love with their flesh, they're not going to, if you love with yourself, you can't love somebody else. Flesh, you have to get rid of the flesh, Jesus does, so you can fulfill the law and love your neighbors yourself. And because of lawlessness, that's people breaking the law, these false preachers and false prophets are going to lead them, is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. They're not going to really love one another because they don't have the fruit of the Spirit in them, folks. But the one who endures to the end, verse 13, he's going to be the one who gets saved. Isn't that right? Now, verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation. Now, what does this abomination do? The abomination is the Antichrist or the powers of darkness that enter into the temple. Is that right? Do they come into the holy place? May I ask you, where is the holy place? The holy place is the temple. Isn't that right? They come in and devour the temple. And when you see them standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. They come in, isn't that right? Therefore, when you see the abomination, and what they come in the temple to do, they make you desolate. They make you no water, no word. You see what I mean? No fruit. Which is spoken on through Daniel, the holy prophet. When you see these standing in the holy place, they're there. Now, that's what I showed you in Babylon. The aliens have entered the holy place, and their vengeance for the temple of God. Amen? Is it all tied together? Well then, verse 21. For then there's going to be a great tribulation. Isn't that interesting? To be in a tribulation and not even know it? Such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now or ever shall. Have we already gone through that in Joel 2? You remember that? It's always someone aware of, see? Because God lets the foolish thing confound the wise, and while people are destroyed, they don't even know what's happening to them. Because when you're asleep, you'll descend into Sheol and just never wake up. Now look at verse 23. Then if anyone says, behold, here is Christ, there he is, do not believe him. In other words, try our Jesus. Oh, this Jesus over here. Won't you try this Jesus over here? Oh, try our Jesus over here. What about our Jesus over here? Are you aware of all the different Jesus today? Come over here and try. If they say, come over here and try our Jesus, do not believe him, for false Christ and false prophets are going to rise, and they're going to show great signs and wonders so as mislead, if possible, even elect. You see that? And then don't you look in verse 37. For the coming of Jesus is going to be just like the days of Noah. Now, in the days of Noah, what was all the intent of their heart was evil. If I had time to go, that's on that Babylon series tape that I have right here. For the coming of the Son of Man is going to be just like the days of Noah. Now, let me ask you something. What destroyed the people during the days of Noah? A flood destroyed them. Is that right? Now, the righteous got into the ark. Is that right? Now, can I tell you that the foolish virgins didn't get in the ark, but the wise virgins did get into the ark? You understand that? They really did. That's the way it is today. That's the way it is today, and there it is then. All right, now, who is the flood? Who did we see? That's the river that comes out of Satan's mouth that comes to test us. That's the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boast of pride of life. These are the schemes of Satan that we're warned about in Ephesians 6 and earlier that we're supposed to have up to protect ourselves from the flood. Is that right? Okay. And just like the days of Noah, for in those days, which were before the flood, here's where the heart was. They were eating. They were drinking. They were marrying. They were given in marriage. See, the heart wasn't on God. this is where the heart, that was her total life of these things right there. Read Luke 12 and kind of you'll see about being dressed in redness and not let be like the world. Let your heart go after what you're eating and drinking. Because, see, people who in the world, they work for how they're going to live and to be at ease and that sort of thing. Amen? Okay. Those days which were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the day who entered the ark? Noah entered the ark. What's that archetype of? The Lord Jesus Christ. And they, what's those three words? They did not understand. Now, look at me. Today, people who are, have 1 Corinthians 6, 3 through 5 again, if you have doctrine that does not conform you to godliness, you are deprived of the truth and you are without understanding. And that's what he's trying to tell them back in 1 Corinthians right there. That you're not going to be understanding his wisdom, you're not going to be entering into maturity if you don't start overcoming. Amen? If you don't go to sacrifice, repent, and get free of this. And so, we see, and for in those days, verse 30, at which were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now, have we already seen that they're going to take the wicked from among the righteous? Is that right? They're going to come and destroy them. The fire is going to come and destroy them. Can I tell you who the fire and the flood is? That's who you rock and roll. The powers of darkness have the rock and rollers singers to sing about the power, the fire and the flood, because they know they are the fire and the flood. And they did not understand until the flood came and it took them all away. And that's exactly what's happening today. The fire and the flood is coming and it's removing people. And their hearts are becoming hardened and more hardened and they're falling away and destroyed. And this scripture here is called rapture right here. In many, many circles, it's called the rapture because you don't use judgment. Doctrines that have ungodliness, they don't never teach you about judgment. They leave that out of the Bible because doctrines that are not godly, they're there to please flesh. And people who please flesh, it's to please flesh, you leave out the judgment of God, and so you don't even know about judgments and curses and things like that nature, you know? So you get yourself a nice little doctrine that pleases your flesh. And they did not understand until the what came? Flood came, and what did the flood do? It took them all away. Now the flood is what cometh and take them away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. One more verse, verse 4. Well, we see there, then there'll be two men in the field, one to be taken. What's going to take them? The flood's going to take them. Does that sound like rapture? Which direction are they going? Down. There'll be two women will be grinding at the bill. They might be one trying to make bread to restore their lives theirself, you know. One to be taken and the other one to be left. There'll be what? So you better be on the what? Is that what we call in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10? That we be on alert, sober and alert against the powers of darkness? But be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this. I want you to know he's coming from destruction first, and he's going to take the wicked from the righteous. But be sure of this. If the head of the house had known at what time of the night, night's a time of darkness, that the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert. He would have been on the alert, like the Bible warned you to do, and you wouldn't have allowed your house, where's your house? We live in this house right here, and it's broken into by the powers of darkness, which we saw over there earlier in some of the other teachings which explain. So, folks, Jesus is coming, but he's blowing a trumpet. And I want you to know he's shouting out judgment right now. And I want you to know he's saying, repent and turn the light, but there's only going to be a remnant that comes.
In the early hours of darkness, in the garden there he prayed, oh, Father, take this cup from me. Is there any other way? As his prayer was turned to pleading, his sweat was turned to blood. Oh, Father, come prepare me now. Your will, not mine, be done. So the thousand came to take the one. And there he was betrayed by the kiss that found forever the lamb who would be slain. And when they asked which one is Jesus, he spoke these simple words, and 1,000 soldiers fell before the answer that changed the world. I am he, he said. It is I, see. I'm the one you want. I am he. You have come now. I am the one. Yes, you have come for me. I am he. In my early hours of darkness, in the gardens of my search, the weeds had grown around me like thorns around the word. And I saw my sins before me, and I felt my heart grow numb. Oh, Father, come renew me now. Your will, not mine, be done. And I saw my vain religion turn the poor away, and I saw countless unborn children my neglect had surely slain. And I said, Lord, I need your healing, cause your word cuts like a knife. And when I asked, oh God, where is my strength, his answer changed my life. I am he, he said. I'm the one you want. I am he. You have found me now. I am the one. Yes, you have come for me. I am he. I am.
Concludes tape number 9. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number 10, where this message continues.